The business went ahead unsatisfactorily. Stubner did most of the talking and suggesting, which was sufficient to irritate Maud Sangster, while Pat volunteered nothing. She studied his fine countenance, the eyes clear blue and wide apart, the well-modeled, almost aquiline nose, the firm, chaste lips that were sweet in a masculine way in their curl at the corners, and that gave no hint of any sullenness. It was a baffling personality, she concluded, if what the paper said of him was so. In vain she sought for earmarks of the brute, and in vain she attempted to establish contacts. For one thing, she knew too little about prize-fighters and the ring, and whenever she opened up a lead, it was promptly snatched away by the information-oozing Stubner. "It must be most interesting, this life of a pugilist," she said once, adding with a sigh, "I wish I knew more about it. Tell me, why do you fight? Oh, aside from money reasons," this latter to forestall Stubner. "Do you enjoy fighting? Are you stirred by it, by pitting yourself against other men? I hardly know how to express what I mean, so you must be patient with me." Pat and Stubner began speaking together, but for once Pat bore his manager down.
"I didn't care for it at first." "You see, it was too dead easy for him," Stubner interrupted. "But later," Pat went on, "when I encountered the better fighters, the real big clever ones, where I was more..."
"On your mettle?" she suggested.
"Yes, that's it, more on my mettle. I found I did care for it, a great deal, in fact. But still, it's not so absorbing to me as it might be. You see, while each battle is a sort of problem which I must work out with my wits and muscle, yet to me the issue is never in doubt."
"He's never had a fight go to a decision," Stubner proclaimed. "He's won every battle by the knockout route."
"And it's this certainty of the outcome that robs it of what I imagine must be its finest thrills," Pat concluded.
"Maybe you'll get some of them thrills when you go up against Jim Hanford," said the manager.
Pat smiled, but did not speak. "Tell me some more," she urged. "More about the way you feel when you are fighting." And then Pat amazed his manager, Miss Sangster, and himself by blurting out,
"It seems to me I don't want to talk with you on such things. It's as if there are things more important for you and me to talk about.
He stopped abruptly, aware of what he was saying, but unaware of why he was saying it. "Yes," she cried eagerly, "that's it. That is what makes a good interview, the real personality, you know." But Pat remained tongue-tied, and Stubner wandered away on a statistical comparison of his champion's weights, measurements, and expansions with those of Sandow, the Terrible Turk, Jeffries, and the other modern strongmen. This was of little interest to Maud Sangster, and she showed that she was bored. Her eyes chanced to rest on the book of sonnets. She picked the book up and glanced inquiringly at Stubner.
"That's Pat's," he said. "He goes in for that kind of stuff, and color photography and art exhibits and such things. But for heaven's sakes, don't publish anything about it. It would ruin his reputation."
She looked accusingly at Glendon, who immediately became awkward. To her, it was delicious. A shy young man with the body of a giant, who was one of the kings of bruisers, and who read poetry and went to art exhibits and experimented with color photography. Of a surety, there was no abysmal brute here. His very shyness, she divined now, was due to sensitiveness and not stupidity.